This morning it's my privilege to offer to you the Word of God as recorded in the Gospel of John, the 15th chapter, verses 9 through 7. May God, the author of the Holy Word, give us His holy touch as we then hear from His Word in John 15, 9 through 7. 9 through 17, excuse me. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends, if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. This is I command you, to love one another. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks. Kind of random question here. Have you ever wondered what it would be like if you walked into a room and there stood Jesus and he just came straight over to you, wrapped his arm around your shoulder, and introduced you to the other people in the room and said, "I want you to meet my friend." And so what characteristics would you happen to possess in order for Jesus to give you that wonderful, privileged title of friend? Well, in today's scripture passage, we understand that the Lord equates friendship with him on the basis of how we love each other as well as Jesus. He states emphatically, love is the first priority of any community, of any relationship, of any church. Because love is the greatest gift of all time, you cannot have a greater gift to enjoy than to be truly loved. In fact, the Bible says faith, hope, and love are three great things. But now we know in our own spirituality, faith wanes from time to time, and hope seems to be based on need for that hope. But love? Oh, as for love, love never ends. 1 Corinthians 13. And love exists for eternity because God is love, and that love is the expression of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is the universal language that anyone in this world can understand from another. Jesus speaks about obeying his Father's commandments as it pleases God and shows our commitment to loving the Father. But likewise, Jesus says, I want you to show your love for me by obeying my commandments and by loving each other. The proof of the friendship demonstrated as we truly love one another in the family of faith, not out of obligation, but out of genuine care and affection. On this Sunday before Valentine's Day, the day which we commemorate the act and the gift of love, and as well on this Scout Sunday when we recognize the scouting ministry based on the love of God and country and acts of service, I want to share four truths on Christ's commandments to his disciples. The first we see from the text in verse 12 is priority, the truth of priority. It says, my commandment is this, love each other as I have loved you. Notice the pronoun, would you? My commandment. It's the commandment of Jesus. He takes all the commandments of God, the first five. You shall have no other gods before you. Love the one true God. It takes all of the first five commandments and basically says, love God. And then he takes the second five commandments of the Ten Commandments. You shall not steal, you shall not, you know, kill, you shall not covet. He takes the last five commandments and rolls them into the second part of that of his commandment, love God and love one another. To love one another as he has loved us, that's the big one though, because that's what Jesus says to do. 1 John 4, as I shared with the children, God is love, and to love each other as he loved us is the priority Jesus sets. Notice Jesus does not end, you see, the sentence simply with love one another. No, but rather love each other as I have loved you. Perfectly, completely love one another. But you see, that leads us to the second truth about love. That leads us to the predicament. We cannot love each other the way Jesus loves us unless something else happens first, unless we have Jesus living inside of us. And you think, well, perhaps how do I have Jesus live inside of me? Because you have invited him in. You don't participate in anything unless you've invited it into your life. But the predicament is, that means we've got to move a lot of the self business out of the way in order to make room for Jesus to fill us. Fill our cup, Lord. Fill me up, Lord. Got to make room for Jesus. Love's so interesting. It can be so fragile and yet so strong. If we feel slighted, it can break our heart and break our love. If we're being depended upon, well, that strengthens our love. And yet sometimes it can be so much to where it exhausts us. Sometimes we obviously misuse love. We can manipulate someone and maybe not even be conscious we're doing it. We can manipulate someone for our own objectives, our own purposes, and yet we call it love. We can be protective of someone to the point where we're almost constricting them, where they cannot grow and be the independent and spiritual person that God has called them to be. Oh, and Valentine's Day? We can rush to get those Valentine's gifts to cover ourselves. How genuine is that? Is that obligation or is that love? Or is it just merely trying to keep out of trouble? You never know when a message is just going to totally relate. Jesus speak of the day. Love doesn't need a special day to be expressed. Amen?
Amen.
Only apparently a special day to remind us to express it. But agape love is of what Jesus speaks. So different than anything else. It is a selfless love. It is an urgent love of the heart, where you're so focused in extending a heartfelt care and grace that no thoughts of yourself are even pondered. So back to the original question, what would make us be a friend of Jesus? And that leads to the third point, to practice the principles of divine love. The kind of love Jesus showed toward us in verse 13, which says, greater love has no man than to lay down his life for his friends. The principles of divine love are all in that verse. First principle, he laid down. That implies freedom. He freely laid it down. All that he was, all that he gave. Jesus did what he did for us without coercion. So that's where we kind of define if we're really giving love freely. We ask questions like, am I doing what I'm doing freely, or is it because it's expected of me? When I give, am I doing so freely, or am I doing it because it's expected of me? Am I doing it begrudgingly? We get caught up sometimes in an attitude of self-pity. Does anyone appreciate all that I do for them? Why do I even bother? If you and I find ourselves saying that in our minds from time to time, chances are we're not giving freely. We're giving conditionally. Granted, it's frustrating if you find yourself in a situation where it seems like you're one person carrying one end of the log and there's nine persons on the other end. But love that is freely given is truly divine love. Apostle Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians 9:7, God loves a cheerful giver. Of course, that doesn't refer to money only. That means anything that is a gift from us that we freely give. Not expected, just given. Love is patient and kind. Again, the apostle tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, our love is an expression of good. It is an act of goodness. Just desiring no harm to another person is a passive love. But the divine love Jesus is talking about is an active goodness. It was moving day, my first appointment. It was called a student appointment to finish out my seminary degree. You might think of it like student teaching if you were a teacher. It was in a teeny tiny town, moving day. Oh, and when I think about it, I was so green, I should have paid those people to come hear me preach. But as drama sometimes occurs in families at different events in one's life, on moving day, Tony was sick, and I mean sick. He experienced his first bout with kidney stones. Moving day. Well, naturally, when we need to be at our best, we were kind of in a panic. But no worries. There was the church, alive and well, coming to minister to their minister. They helped us move things in. They brought food. They did all that they could to make Tony as comfortable as they could. Small house, air conditioner units. Well, they brought another air conditioner unit. You see, they were fabulous to us. They stopped whatever they had planned for the day to take care of us. Active goodness. Being aware and responding. Second principle, his life. Jesus freely laid down his life. No greater love is a person than this, to lay down their life for their friends. My mind immediately goes to the images of police officers, firefighters, freedom fighters. These examples of bravery and courage who daily risk their lives for our lives. Jesus laid down his life. A principle of divine love is sacrificial in nature. You see, divine love is that which costs something. For God so loved the world that he gave his Son. It costs something to love us divinely. Love costs us time, energy, and yes, sometimes it costs money. The five love languages by Gary Chapman, I've referred to it before, but it's really outstanding. That people, the concept is people experience love in five different ways. Some receive love through words of affirmation. Others through gifts. Others through acts of service. Others through quality time. And still others through simple physical touch. No matter the need, no matter the cost, active love itself, you see, will penetrate through the sacrifice so that you might feel and experience the joy that Jesus said is complete. The love of the doing unto others. Jesus affirming friendship within the body of Christ is extremely important. He has demonstrated connectionalism at its best. David read just a moment ago a letter from our bishop commending our connectionalism, that we help together, we strengthen the connection of the body of Christ as we affirm and support churches that cannot do as much and churches that just need our presence. Thinking about within our local church here, that's why small groups are so important. Small groups transform members and regular attendees of the church into the fellowship, into the body of Christ. From pew warmers to active, participating disciples of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we love others and see the results of that love God has entrusted us to give, that enables us to be the presence of the love of God. Genuine love changes people, friends. Withholding love changes people too, but in a detrimental way for you and for me. That's what Jesus meant when he said to love one another so that our joy could be complete. Jesus also said, through that love, we are called to bear fruit. And that's the final principle. The product of loving Jesus bears fruit. I appointed you to go and bear fruit, Jesus said, fruit that will last. Then my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. And in doing that, Jesus, you see, is limiting within us all pride. He is inviting us to humble ourselves and bear the witness of love to a hurting world. And when we do that, we will bear fruit. Others will follow suit. Smiles will greet frowns on faces, and those frowns will turn to smiles. Selfless acts will encourage others to be less selfish and more selfless. Love is a powerful healing balm, and Jesus knew this. As the cross loomed closer and closer to Christ, Jesus gave his disciples a new name and a title. And if you read the Bible, every time there's a name change, like Abram to Abraham, Sarah to Sarah, something very significant happens. Jacob to Israel. Go through the Bible and you'll see whenever there's a name change, something very important is about to happen. And so it was. For the disciples are servants that now were the friends of Jesus. Their relationship had changed. It had grown. It was based on free, sacrificial, and gracious love. And the world watched this change in relationship and would come to know love is the most powerful agent of change. You can strategize till the cows come home, but it's going to be love and care that change this world. I'm closing this, in the movie Forrest Gump, we were introduced to a character who was mild in his manner and just simply had one go: to be everyone's friend. As the movie unfolded, we saw his innocent actions toward friendship produce an array of responses, didn't we? A like-minded fella named Bubba became a brilliant business partner. A superior officer, Lieutenant Dan, earlier somewhat annoyed by Forrest and definitely arrogant in attitude, remember, became his best friend at Forrest's wedding. An abused and addictive personality, Jenny, would become his bride at last. And, well, his mother, she knew how to express to Forrest how to live his life the best and how to love, because life, after all, was a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. Well, the friends of Jesus were like a box of chocolates. I wish every one of you would go to my office after the service is over and look at this painting I have of my grandfather's. Remember, he used to be the preacher here a long time ago. And I have this wonderful artist's rendition of the Lord's Supper hanging on the wall that was in his office so long ago. And when you look at that painting, you can tell almost verbatim which disciples which by the expressions on their faces or by their posture. Well, Jesus had a box of chocolates on his hands. The personalities varied so greatly, just like the personalities of Forrest Gump's friends. But the love of Jesus transformed those disciples from servants to friends to later apostles and leaders of the early church, the church which 2,000 years later you and I are privileged to belong, are privileged to have the freedom to worship the one true God and his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. That same Lord who is transforming today servants, people, into disciples, and yes, into friends, practicing sacrificial love, practicing priority, practicing selfless love, making Christ the one true supreme ruler of their hearts. Transforming, and once transformed, going out into this world and bearing fruit through encouragement, words of hope, words of witness, words of love. So, final question. It was the first question. Are you his friend? Are you bearing fruit? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.